Let's open our Bibles again to Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 3, where we're going to pick up again our look at these additional Proverbs of Solomon added in the reign of King Hezekiah, the most righteous of all the kings of Jerusalem. These Proverbs were added during the late 8th century BC. That's in the late 700s BC. But they'd been written a couple of hundred years earlier, during the high point of Solomon's kingdom. I hope you've got a little notebook where you can jot down these proverbs that you think will be useful to yourself or to somebody you know, because that's what they're intended for. They are intended to be memorized so that we will have ready to go the Word of God to control our reaction to different situations in the world. With that in mind, let's jump on in. Proverbs 26:3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey. So this is a description of what you used to make animals, particular types of animals, do what you needed them to do, even though they didn't really want to. So you might use a little whip to encourage the horse to move forward. You might use a bridle to kind of tug at the donkey to get it to move forward. But the next part is, and a rod for the back of fools. Now that is a literal rod that is referenced there, because they used corporal punishment for those that refused to do the right things in society. So judges could order that someone be spanked with a rod up to 40 whacks for repeated misbehaviors. And so just a reminder here that there are consequences to foolish behavior. And when we talk about foolish, we're talking about not stupid behavior, but rather behavior in the face of knowing what is right. A fool, David said, has said in his own heart, there is no God. So in the biblical sense of a fool, it's someone that rejects authority over themselves. They think that they are in absolute control of anything and everything that they want to do. All right, so verse number 4. Since we're talking about fools, we're going to just have a whole bunch of proverbs on that topic now. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, for some reason, there are some silly people out there that think that these two verses contradict one another. Why would they be sitting in the Proverbs next to each other if that were the case? They are intended to be a humorous contrast or a thoughtful contrast of how to deal with fools. First of all, you don't become like the fool and just pop off. You don't say back to a fool the first thing that comes into your head, because that's what fools do. They just knee-jerk react to everything. So don't answer according to a fool's folly, because then you just end up being a fool yourself. Instead, verse 5 says, answer them according to their folly, that is, for what it needs, and that is, so he will not be wise in his own eyes. So you break it down for him or her, let them know the truth of the situation, and remind them that they are the problem that needs to change. We call them to repentance. And you remember what repentance is all about. Repentance is changing the way you think. And that, of course, following its own natural course of events, will change the way you act. So we need to not be like fools. We need to engage them to keep them from continuing to be fools. Verse number 6. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. In other words, It is stupid to trust a fool to do things for you because they are foolish. They do not act properly to situations. Verse 7, like a lame man's legs which hang useless is a proverb in the mouth of fools. So we all know that people whose handicap is they have no use of their lower extremities. Those legs shrivel up, they atrophy, and they are of no real use to the person. Well, that's the way a proverb is for a fool. They don't really know what they're talking about when they quote it. They have no mental connection to what's being taught by it. It's just words. And that's problematic. Verse number 8, like one who binds the stone in a sling is one who gives honor to a fool. So if you are using a slingshot for warfare, or you're using slingshot for hunting some sort of animal, you don't tie the stone, the ammunition, into the pouch of the slingshot, because that means it can't get out there where it needs to go. Well, that is what happens when you give honor to a fool. You just waste the effort that you've put into trying to show how much you respect that person that has no respect for wisdom. Verse number 9, like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. It just is irritating, but it doesn't really affect anything. Because a drunk person can hurt themselves, and then the next day, they don't even know how they got the mark. They don't even know how they got punctured, because it was a blackout drunk. Well, that's the deal. When fools try to use the words of God, it doesn't really have the impact, because they don't believe in this stuff, not in their hearts. I have unfortunately seen many people that will quote from the Word of God one moment, and the next moment they're doing the exact opposite of what the Word of God said in the quote that they just used. So it means it has no impact on their life. That's not good. Verse 10, like an archer who wounds everybody is one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. So if you can imagine some archer on the front line, they're just shooting randomly in all directions, and they're getting both friend and foe alike. Well, you are being that sort of indiscriminate shooter when you hire to do work somebody that is a fool or a habitual drunk, because they're not going to get the job done right. You really need to address their problems rather than help them continue in those problems. Verse number 11 is quoted by James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his New Testament book. And it's all about going back into sin. It says, like a dog that returns to his vomit. And we've all seen that. We all are very familiar with that disgusting procedure. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So a foolish person, who has not been properly corrected, who has not properly repented, they just keep repeating the same stupidity, the same biblical foolishness over and over and over again. And it's a disgusting thing to see. It's a sad thing to see. Verse 12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? Well, there's more hope for a fool than for him. So as bad as foolish people are, arrogant people are worse. And actually, arrogant people are just another brand of fool, because they do not see any other authority in their life than themselves. No other standard of evaluation in life than their own standard for for themselves, and that's never good. Verse 13. The sluggard says, and the sluggard is another one of the repeated bad character traits in the book of Proverbs. Sluggard is a person who's lazy. They can work. They have the physical capability of doing so, but they just don't. So the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. Which means they're just basically making excuses for why they can't go and work that day. And it's just another excuse. Verse 14, I always think back to one of my preachers of youth. When I was a kid, we had a preacher named Larry who took all of us teenagers under his proverbial wing and taught us from the book of Proverbs in a, I don't remember if it was a Sunday morning Sunday school class. It may have been a Sunday night class. I don't remember exactly what the context was. But he sat at the little desk there in the basement of the First Christian Church in Kabul, Missouri. And he just opened up the book of Proverbs and went through it with us. And he would very often be very engaged in his language in describing these things. And this one in particular, I associate with that teaching time. As a door turns on its hinges, you know, and you can picture a door going, creaking as it turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. And that is, oh, he just rolls over to the other side because he doesn't want to get out of bed yet. And so thank you very much, Larry Atkins, for all your teaching from way back when. The sluggard, he also did this one very well too, buries his hand in the dish. So he's eating something that's finger food. And it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. So he's so lazy. He can't even bring finger food from the bowl up to his mouth. That is one sort of lazy. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. And this again shows us that sluggards are just another category of fool, just another category of arrogance, where they think they know better than everyone else. And that's why they should be left alone and catered to without having to go out and work. Verse number 17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Now, the dogs that these guys talk about are not the cute little puppy dogs that you love. These are those stupid mongrel dogs that range all over the neighborhood and rip your garbage bags open on garbage day. And the ones that you're a little afraid of when you see them around where your kids have been playing, okay? That sort of mongrel. It is a foolish thing to grab one of those dogs by their ears because then you're in trouble. What are you going to do? How are you going to let them go? Well, that's how stupid it is to stick your nose into an argument where you have no business being. Now, that's not saying that you shouldn't try to help people work things out. The problem is jumping in where you don't belong when you don't understand what's happening. And it's a dangerous and deadly thing at times to do that sort of thing. Verses number 18 and 19. I was taught this again when I was a younger person, because back when I was a teenager and stuff, it was a really big popular thing to cause trouble for other people and then cover it up by saying, I was just joking, man. And we were made to memorize this in order to quit that sort of inappropriate behavior. Here it is. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. So trying to use humor to cover up inappropriate treatment of other people is not right. Now, we can use humor for a lot of different things, but covering up misbehavior is not allowed for believers. Verse 20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. As I sit here in my basement trying to record these things for later broadcast, I've got a little fire going in my wood-burning stove. And I have to keep an eye on it because, you know what? Once all the wood gets burned up, the fire goes out. Because it needs fuel, right? So, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarrelings cease. The whisperer here should be associated with a gossip, a talebearer, somebody that just keeps on passing information along to keep the trouble alive. And once that person quits it, then very often the trouble can be resolved and it can be gotten rid of. So the lesson here is, of course, don't be a whisperer. Don't be a talebearer. Don't be a gossip. Don't be somebody that keeps arguments going. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Again, same sort of thing. It takes people continuing the fight, continuing the argument, continuing the contentious back and forth. It takes at least one person that wants to keep on fighting to keep that alive. And so as soon as they're gone out of the equation, things can be resolved. So, of course, the lesson must be, all of us need to be wanting to try to end those fights, to bring them to a proper conclusion. Verse 22, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. And so this is an acknowledgement that a lot of people really do like that gossip. They like to hear all the supposed bad things that other people are engaged in. It just somehow satisfies them. It goes down on the inside. And the proverb, of course, is trying to teach us, don't be one of those people that seems to enjoy both consuming and passing those bits and pieces along. Verse 23, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. All right, so the picture here is this beautiful looking vase. It looks like it's ceramic with this wonderful glaze on the outside. But guess what? It's not. It's all outward show. Because on the inside is just a normal clay pot. And so that's the problem with some people. They have gracious words and gracious manners and all these things on the outside that make it look like they're nice people. But inside, they are evil. And they have evil intentions. They are schmoozers. They are con people. They are just taking advantage. They're snake oil salesmen. What are all the other metaphors that we use, right? They are not to be trusted. So we need to evaluate people by what's in their hearts. And the way we find that out is over time. Verse 24, whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. So this is kind of a continuing of that same sort of idea, is that some people are just so hateful and spiteful down inside of themselves, but they cover it up with their outward words, their outward treatment of other people, so that they can, you know, get even and do nasty things to those people eventually. So verse number 26, though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. So time will tell on those sorts of people. Con men and women, more often than not, eventually get caught. They try the con one too many times, and then it all catches up with them. And certainly, that is going to be the case with God himself. He will judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts of people. Verse 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. This is the what we would sometimes hear people refer to as karma. That is, what goes around eventually comes around. And when we're talking about God being involved in the process, it's Judgment Day in particular. He will bring all people to account for what they've been doing. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So people who lie, people who pass on falsehoods, people who schmooze other people, they aren't doing that out of the kindness of their heart, trying to help people out. They're doing it to the harm and hurt of their targets. They hate those people, and they're working for their ruin. And so the teaching here, of course, is don't be like that. Don't be out to do other people in. Chapter 27. This also shows up in the book of James, the half-brother Jesus. And one of the things I am very much convinced of is that Mary and Joseph taught from the book of Proverbs to their boys, to their girls, and had them memorize portions of the book of Proverbs for their own benefit. And so that bears fruit in the written work of James and in the verbiage of Jesus himself when he's quoted in the Gospels. So this quote is, "Do not boast about tomorrow." And then comes the quote that you'll see in James chapter 4. "For you do not know what a day may bring." James says, those of you that are going around saying, well, today, tomorrow, we're going to go to this city, we're going to go to that city, we're going to make a profit after we've done some work there. You can't say that because you don't know. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Instead, you ought to say, James says, if the Lord wills, we will do this or we will do that. So we need to understand that we don't control the situation. The situation is random. It's the result of all sorts of free will choices of many, many, many people over a long period of time. And so it's outside of our control. But God is able to make all things work together for good to those of us who love him and who are called according to our purposes. So we need to depend upon God day by day. Verse number 2 is something that I try to live by, and it unfortunately limits how widely some of my work goes. Honestly, I'm going to just be blatantly honest with you. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So I believe that we preachers, we teachers, need to not engage in heavy self-promotion. Unfortunately, in our society, the people who get the most attention are the ones who self-promote. And so that means those of us that live by this aren't the ones that are constantly being seen out in the teaching world of the Bible. And so I would encourage you, if you appreciate the way that I teach the Word, tell other people about it. Share my work with other people. If you appreciate what your preacher does, share what your preacher is doing. If you appreciate what other teachers in your life are doing, share that information with other people. get the good teaching out there, because the Bible-believing teachers are not going to be heavily self-promoting because of this verse. Verse number 3. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. So a fool is tougher to overcome than heavy stones and sand. They are just difficult when they start causing trouble. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? See, these are all negative emotions, but jealousy, somebody that's really, really pushing something that is not necessarily good, they are going to be really hard to overcome. Verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. If somebody loves you and you're in the wrong, they're going to tell you about it. They're not going to keep their mouth shut. They have to remind you of the proper things to do. That goes into the next part. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. So you should be happy when your true friends tell you that you've got an issue that needs to be fixed. You should be much happier about that than you should be about somebody that is, you know, schmoozing you and telling you all sorts of good things about yourself and promoting you, when in fact they're working against you behind the scenes because they're your enemy. They're just fattening you up for the kill. So appreciate your friends who speak the truth to you in love. Don't neglect them. And listen to them, especially when they're sharing with you from the Word of God, because they really do want what's best for you, not to see you fall apart.